Thank you for coming out this morning and coming upstairs instead of to your regular Sunday schools. Hopefully we've got everybody available. I know there's some people that couldn't make it today, but we will send this recording out and ask them to listen to it. So this is the third time now we've tried to have this, and we're doing it. So back in the spring, the search committee's been going on for about 2.5 years now since John first notified us of his retirement. And back in the spring, we kind of changed up the numbers on the committee and different people on the committee. And then at the same time, we came across this third-party organization. And we thought, well, that sounds too much like a business. You know, we're a church, and we need to continue to work on this. But the more we talked to them, and they gave us a proposal, the board met, we really answered a lot of questions. And a very skeptical board back in May decided, you know, we really need to give them a chance, bring them in, let them talk to the congregation. They've got tools we don't have. They've been doing this for many organizations, and it's time to let them come in and do a presentation. So, you know, shortly after that, I mean, we scheduled that presentation for the first weekend in June, and then the search committee thought we had a viable candidate, and of course, not wanting to waste David's time or the congregation's time or spend any money going that direction, we put it on hold. And then after a couple months of working on those opportunities, the search committee in July asked us to reengage with Vanderblumen, and let's bring them in and let's see what they have to offer. So David was scheduled for the last weekend in August, and Hurricane Harvey got in the way. They're headquartered in Houston, and so it was delayed another month. So here we are. We spent an hour and a half grilling him last night, so now it's your turn. No questions. No questions are off limits. We want you to feel completely comfortable with where we're headed. This is a non-budgeted item for us. Even if we have the funds, it's non-budgeted, so we want you guys to be on board with whatever we decide to do. So David, as I said, they're based in Houston. So someone reached out to me right after Hurricane Harvey and said, what can we do similar to what we did with Katrina? So, you know, David was the only person I knew in Houston in a church-related setting. So he immediately responded that there's a church down there, Redemption Church, who is a clearinghouse for recovery efforts, financial and physical. And so I did ask him to bring us a little bit of an update. We had sent out an email that week right after the hurricane. Well, it probably was the second week after the hurricane. And letting you know that you could donate to Redemption if that's where you felt inclined. And we know you have many, many, many different places to donate. So we don't know who donated, but we trust that you've done whatever the Lord has led you to do. So at that, I guess, let me just open in prayer, and then we'll ask David to come up and do a little bit of introduction. He'll talk about the recovery efforts down in Houston first, and then do a presentation about what Vanderblumen does for churches like us. And you don't have to spell Vanderblumen. You can just say VSG. I still haven't figured that one out. So all right, let's get started. Lord, we thank you for Salem Bible Church and the gift that your word to us, your son, and your leading of this congregation as we make decisions about finding a new pastor, searching how to do it. And we thank you for David and his ability to come up here, talk to us, and we pray for those folks in Houston, in Florida, in Puerto Rico, and all of the storm-battered areas. And we thank you for all the gifts you've given us, the blessings. And we're not there, but we ask your blessing on them as they go through their recoveries. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'll just sit right here, take notes until we're done, and then
can you guys hear me? I talk pretty loud anyway, so one way or the other, you guys will hear me. Also, if my twang is too much for you, just let me know. I'll try to turn it down a little bit. I'm from Texas, but originally from Tennessee, so my southern twang is a little much when I get past the Mason-Dixon line. Thank you guys for having me. I want to talk a minute, like Dave said, about what's going on in Houston right now and just kind of give you guys an update where specifically Redemption Church and what we're doing, what my church is doing. It's actually my church. So if for those of you who are not familiar with what happens when a flood kind of occurs, there's really three phases. So the first phase is you got to get everything out of the house. The drywall that's gotten wet, the flooring that's gotten wet, the furniture that's gotten wet, everything's got to be removed so mold doesn't set. The second piece is you have to find housing while your home is being torn apart. The average time out of a home after a flood is about 5 months because insurance takes a long time to process and get contractors in. So the second phase is get temporary housing for an extended period of time. And, of course, the third phase is rebuilding. Redemption Church really took on the demolition piece where we wanted to find people as quickly as we could who needed help. So we targeted areas that were low income or areas that had low mobility because of either their age or other reasons. So we went into neighborhoods and tried to find individuals who maybe didn't have access to resources to start demoing their homes. We found and partnered with 70 different homes. And tore out things like drywall, flooring, took out furniture, hauled away a lot as much as we could. We even helped move some people to storage facilities and other temporary housing places. So 70 homes we partnered with, so that means we had to purchase tools for doing all those projects, crowbars, hammers, floor bullies, all that you can imagine that would be needed to rip out drywall saws, razor blades, things like that. We equipped almost 200 people. Over the course of 2 weeks to go into 70 homes and tear out those homes. We are also now partnering with an elementary school and potentially two elementary schools to provide a resource bank for students going back to school. One of the things that's often lost in these floods are supplies. So the week it flooded was the week school was supposed to start. So most people had bought their supplies and were ready to start school, and all those supplies are ruined. So we partnered with a school that is directly across the street from us. It's an elementary school where we want to provide and collect resources for students coming in. Again, we want to obviously provide that assistance first and foremost to those who are most in need. So all the money that has been donated to our church so far has gone directly to relief funds. Nothing has been mixed in with like a general fund. Nothing's been mixed into anything else other than Harvey Relief. So it's gone into buying the tools for helping with the deconstruction of homes. It's gone into resources such as school supplies to help the school create that supply bank. And we'll also go into organizing future relief efforts. So that's things like if we do take on one or two actual building projects, those funds will go to those building projects themselves. We are a bit skeptical of a building because obviously you can tear out drywall and not be a professional, but you can't put it in without being a professional. So we're trying to figure out where to go from there. But up until this point, 70 homes and one elementary school is what our partnership has gone to. And every dime that has been donated to us has gone to those efforts and tools that are needed for those projects. 70 homes that we've walked into and lives have been totally uprooted. In many cases, they were elderly folks who have lived in that home for 70 years. They've had the same furniture since 1965. They've had the same knickknacks since they were married in the 50s, and it's gone. As devastating as that is, it's been a fantastic opportunity for our community, the church, Big C, to come around and witness those people in those neighborhoods. There are not many times, I think, in our lives where we meet somebody at the crossroads when they're at the lowest point of their life, when they've lost everything that they find their identity and their belongings. So it's been really great for us to be able to come into these homes, offer some physical help, and hopefully some spiritual help as well. And the projection right now is about 3 years before everything is back to normal for Houston. Our church, Redemption, is also now partnered with the Evangelical Free Association of America. They're going to be raising about $1 million, and they're guaranteeing a portion of that to go to a full-time position to then organize the efforts through our church. So they hope to take 50 to 60,000 of those dollars and designate that for a full-time person to then be the point of contact. Because up until this point, it's been the pastors. They've been very busy fielding phone calls from people in need, fielding phone calls from other churches who want to send teams to help. And so now it's time to start putting this in the hands of somebody who can do this full-time, because it is a full-time full-time job. I was telling everyone that we met with last night, the final road that was flooded, Highway 6, just opened up, I guess it was 2 days ago now. So it took a month for the final floodwaters to dissipate. So we're still kind of getting on our feet and trying to get out there. So everything you guys have done has been really helpful. Our church is really grateful that we can be the center of this project. We're not a big church, but I think we have a big heart, and it's been really great to partner with a lot of the churches that we have been able to interact with. So, and I'll keep you guys updated as we go. I'll keep sending emails and try to send out pictures and things like that to let you guys know, hey, this is what's going on in Houston. But I will tell you that it is going to be a years-long process, and I hope that nobody ever has to experience something like that in their own lifetime. So thank you guys so much for helping with that. I want to kind of change tracks and talk about why I'm here, or really why I'm here, and really what I hope to accomplish today. You know, my dad was a preacher. I watched him go through pastor search committees and go through the process of being hired and go through the process of the call. And not many times was it a very good experience. I kind of watched from a distance. It was fascinating being the preacher's kid, and you kind of watch from a distance. Not many times he'd walk away from an interview with a search committee and think, man, that was a great experience. And we talked about this with everyone last night. But it's finding a pastor is like nothing you'll ever do. You're looking for somebody who's going to lead you spiritually. You're looking for somebody who's going to assimilate to the community, be a part of everything you do, be a part of the church and the surrounding people in this area. And so finding a pastor, a spiritual leader, is like nothing before. And there's not really any training for it. There's no courses in college about how to find a pastor. There's no online video you watch about how to be the best search committee. There's nothing out there. And so about 8 years ago, William Vanderblumen, our founder, was a senior pastor who stepped away from ministry and stepped into the corporate world. And in his time there, he saw how efficient businesses were at finding people like CEOs and staff and things like that. And from that moment, he realized the church needs a solution equal, if not better than that. So the 15, almost 20 years of senior pastorship that he had, combined with his experience in the business world, he thought, I want to create a kingdom solution for churches to be able to find pastors. So initially he said, well, let's just help churches find senior pastors. Let's just help churches figure out how to find, where to go, where to look for, what to look for. But he quickly realized that the need was much bigger than that. It was, the churches don't just need help finding pastors. They need help putting together search committees. They need help figuring out who should be on a search committee. They need help figuring out what is a search committee. Should we have a search committee? That was 8 years ago that he kind of had this idea of, hey, how do I build something that the church can use to help find pastors? Because at the end of the day, right, a senior pastor search committee is really just a group of people who really care about the church, who really want to see the church succeed, but probably have never helped find a pastor or have only done it once, hopefully not too many times after that. And so we exist to partner alongside churches and help them find pastors and staffs. So that was 8 years ago when he had this idea of how do I build this solution. So fast forward to today, and we've done almost 1,000 searches with about 80 different denominations or tribes, from as small as 46 on a weekend to about 46,000 on a weekend and everything in between. I want to walk through what exactly it is that we do, though, when we partner with a church and give you guys just an idea of what it looks like tangibly to partner with Vanderblumen, and then what the end result we hope is. One of the keys to finding a good pastor, the right fit, is knowing who you are as a church. We have this cliche saying in our office that if you walk into one church, you've probably only seen about one church. There are no two churches that are alike. I can walk into this church and the Brethren Church down the street, there'll be completely different churches, not just theologically and philosophically, but the people and the culture and some of the nuance in the DNA of the church are vastly different. And so what we want to do is partner alongside you guys in the initial process of understanding who you are as a church. was a good pastor who fits the DNA of this church. So the first step in our search process is to sit down with you in person. So in this case, it was the search committee, much like we did last night. We want to sit down with you and put together two pieces. One is who are you as a church? Let's talk about the theology of your church. Let's talk about the philosophy, what you guys believe, and where do you guys feel like you're going. The second piece is who do we feel is a leader for us? Who's the pastor? What kind of pastor are we looking for? Are we looking for a teacher? Are we looking for a shepherd? Are we looking for a counselor? Let's talk about which one of those pieces that you all feel best fits for you all. So we want to walk away with two pieces from our initial meeting. We want to understand who you are as a church, the DNA of this church. We want to understand who you all feel God is calling to this church, the pastor profile. Once you all have helped us build that out, our team really kicks it into high gear. So we have 37 full-time staff in our Houston office. And at some point, we all play a part in your search. So imagine having 37 full-time people whose entire job it is to help you find a pastor. That's essentially what we're talking about. Armed with the church profile, you know, those little nuances that we talked about in terms of theology and culture, and armed with what you guys feel is a good fit for a pastor, we then take that and we begin scouring the earth for individuals who we think might be a good fit. We have a team of researchers who look and proactively pursue individuals who might be a good fit. We strategically use the online resources to target certain areas like seminaries, other geographic areas similar to this. We also use our own internal database to look for individuals who might be a good fit for this role. We hope to start with a long list of people based on the criteria that you all laid out. Our team then takes that long list and narrows it down. Usually over a 4 to 6 week period, we narrow that list down to just a short list. So 4, maybe 5, 6, whatever that number is, people that we feel really objectively meet the criteria that you all have laid out. To put our final stamp of approval on that short list, those 4 or 5 people, our team sits in person with them and gets to know them, to kind of put our stamp of approval on those people. Our hope is that we can take that short list back to you all, the search committee in this case, and present each one by one, and equip that search committee to take immediate next steps with that short list. Whether it's 4 or 5 people, we want to be able to equip them with sermon samples, whether it's video or audio sermon samples, our notes from our conversation with them and their spouse, our recommendation as to why we think they're a good fit. We want to equip the search committee to take that short list and begin their own process of interviewing, discerning, and praying over. Our hope is that, one, we can help you all be objective in this process. We can offer outside eyes. We're bringing to the table almost 1,000 searches, which is a lot of searches. Hopefully you guys have not done 1,000 pastoral searches at this church. We have another conversation. But we bring the objectivity of 1,000 searches to this process. But we also hope we can expedite the process, too. You mentioned that you guys have been going at this for about 2.5 years. That's about average for a church to do on their own. About 24 months is the average search length for a senior pastor search at a church. And we think that's way too long. An interim period at a church is what we call a church in neutral oftentimes. And we want to make sure a church maintains momentum. So if we can shorten that process of interim period, then we absolutely want to do that. And we think we can. Because our team's entire job, 9 to 5, 7 days a week, is to help you guys find a pastor, to pray over this consistently, to pursue individuals, to vet through those individuals, and bring to you the best of the best at the end of this process. Now, all that being said, I want to talk you out of using us. We aren't perfect, and there's this misconception that we're almost like a holy vending machine. You put your little token in, you pull the lever, and then like the perfect pastor pops out. That couldn't be further from the truth. We are people, and we're broken just like everyone else, and we do not have a perfect process. However, we do hope that all the mistakes that we've made, we can also bring to the table and say, hey, this is how you all avoid what we've seen go really poorly. And so, although we're not perfect, and we don't have a perfect process, we hope the experience and the wisdom we bring to the table is really helpful. I told everyone last night, I kind of led with this, that this search will be very hard for us. Very hard for us. It'll take longer than most of the searches that we do. It'll probably take a couple weeks longer than normal. I told them that they're probably going to reject everyone on that first presentation, and that's okay. We're right there with you guys. No matter how long or how short it takes, we're going to be there with you guys. Our partnership is until you all find your pastor. That's for as long as we're with you, for as long as it takes. Hopefully it doesn't take 6 months or a year, but if it does, we're right there with you. But I just want to make sure that I'm setting the expectation of, I know this is, we are a great resource, but we're not a perfect resource. And this search is going to be tough. Obviously, it's taken 2.5 years for you all. It's going to take a little bit longer for us. Not 2.5 years, but it's going to take some time for us too. So through our whole process, one of the things we want to do is make sure that you, the church, are cared for. I think oftentimes the church, the congregation, is overlooked in the process. And one of the things that we want to act is as a almost like a guide or a trusted advisor to advise the leadership, the board, and the search committee to lead the congregation through this. We want to provide resources such as a prayer calendar. Hey, week 2 of the search process, this is what you need to be praying for. Week 4 of the search process, this is what you need to be praying for. We want to make sure that we can resource you all. So it's not just the church sitting back and waiting for a few weeks for this short list of candidates. It's everyone's actively involved, everyone's doing their part, and everyone has ownership of this process in one form or fashion. And so we want to make sure that we equip the search committee and the leadership to lead you as a congregation through this process as well. So it's not just we're here for the search, we're here for the whole congregation. And I've shared a ton of resources with Dave and the team, some resources that we have. So at the end of the day, if you guys say, hey, this guy's blowing smoke and mirrors, it's just snake oil, I'm not offended, I understand. But we want to make sure that you guys have resources to move forward on your own. They're all free resources, books and surveys and templates and things like that. So at the very least, when you guys move forward with the search, you guys have every resource possible at your disposal to then have a successful search. So with that, I want to open up to questions. I will say I was in Georgia a couple days ago, and the search committee came up with a list of questions. It's the best list of questions. So if you guys are all quiet and have no questions, I have 20 questions that are most commonly asked that I'm happy to talk through. But I want to kind of open it up to questions. I want to make sure that everyone understands what it is we do, because oftentimes I forget things that are important and things of that nature. So I want to make sure that you have your questions answered. And if you don't have questions, I have 20. So I'll kind of open it. Yes. Yeah, so the question is, how do I know that it's going to take longer than normal? A couple factors, just to kind of lay it out. So the size of the church and the location are two big pieces. That's just how it happens to be. We know that a church in this area is going to be tougher to attract somebody, especially if we're looking for somebody who's probably under 50, which I think is the mindset's probably somewhere in that range. So the location and the size is a tough piece. That being said, there's some advantages to this too. There's a lot of great people who are attracted to areas like this. On the flip side, where they want to get away from Houston, which I can't blame them. They want to get away from the big city. So I think the size and the location are two pieces that can make it especially difficult. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's an interesting question. So I actually don't have an answer correlating success to size, but I do have an overall success rate. So we've done just shy of about 1,000 searches. Of those 1,000 searches, about 350, give or take, would fall under senior pastor, lead pastor title of sorts. And so we have a 2-year guarantee on this hire. So if anything happens within the first 2 years, we come back in to do the search again for free. Of those 350 searches that we've done, under our guarantee, we've had to go back 4 times. That's the best statistic I can give you on success rate at this point. One question from my list I think is important. People always say, well, what makes you qualified to do this? I'm not, so let's just get that out of the way. I'm not qualified to do this. But we have a team of advisors or consultants who are all former senior pastors or executive pastors. They have been through the search process themselves. They have They have carried the search process themselves. They've built churches. They've shrunk churches. They've done all those things. The reason why they're on our team is because we feel like when they sit here in front of you all, they can provide experience and wisdom like nobody else. So our search consultants all come from graduate degrees from seminaries and have extensive ministry experience, which they've all now stepped away from to do this full-time, do the pastoral search full-time. So I think our team is a big piece of this, that this is something that we do full-time. We're no longer in ministry or distracted by other things. Our ministry is now helping churches find staff and find pastors. So that's a big part of this, too. Certainly. So where do we get our candidates? Is that the question?
Do you have a list right now that you can go to?
Yeah, certainly. So, of course, over the course of 1,000 searches, we've come across a lot of great people that have come to us, or we've gone to them and found them. And maybe during that time, they weren't a great fit for the search we were doing, but we want to keep tabs on them. So we absolutely have an internal database of individuals that we keep track of over the course of the last 8 years. We do, yeah. We do. So I kind of unload, after I get back to the office, I'll kind of unload my experience and kind of what we talked about here with my team. And that's when the wheels will get going. They'll think about who have we come across in the past that we know that might be a good fit. And those wheels will start turning. I will say, though, and I'll lean into this, that it's not, every search is different. Every search is a new search. We're talking about a new culture, a new theology, a new philosophy. So as much as we have that great database, every search also has to have the proactive piece. Or with the two profiles that you all have built with us, we then go out and pursue individuals that we don't know. And we're looking for and trying to find people that match that criteria specifically. So as much as we have the database, we want to also, it's like a brand new search every time. We want to go out and look for people too. But that's a great question. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. I would say that there's a broad range of answers to that. We have upwards of 65,000 people in our database, ranging from probably as young as 18 to as old as 95. And so there's different mindsets across the board. I do think, though, that churches have a more concise approach to people who are 50 and under and 50 and over. That helps. But, yeah, I couldn't give you an exact answer as to the mindset of the candidates themselves. Yeah, how do we build that database? So one way I mentioned was the searches that we do. We come across a lot of great people, like I said, and there's only one person that's going to be hired at the end of that. So when 500 people apply, there's only one person. So, but a lot of those people are great individuals who we say, hey, we're going to hang on to you. Maybe we find a church down the road and want to revisit our conversations. That's one way. The other way, too, is our reputation. We hold our candidates in strict confidence. They know that when they come to us, that they're being held. Everything they talk to us about, everything they send to us, resumes, things of that nature, we're going to hold that close to the chest. So they trust us. So on an average week, we'll get about 150 to 200 resumes proactively sent to us, where they're saying, hey, I'm either in a place where I think God's calling me away from, or I think God's calling me to the next chapter. Here's my information. If you guys think of something, let me know. And so it's just they trust us, which is great. On that note, though, which is a good point, we do not coach candidates. We don't critique resumes. We do not dress them up or whatever the case may be. We have to remain objective through this process. You all are hiring us. The church is hiring us. So we do not cross over the lines and coach candidates to make them fit so you guys make the hire. However they come to us is how they're going to come to you.
Keep building your debt.
Yeah, so we want to be strategic in partnering with seminaries. I would say a majority of seminaries have a direct pipeline to us in some form or fashion, which is great, but not everyone wants to hire someone right out of seminary. So we also want to have strategic partnerships with denominations as well. So denomination heads, whether it's a bishop from the United Methodist Church or if it's a regional director in the EFCA or Evangelical Free Church, we want to have relationships with them. So we try to be intentional about that. Yeah, so let's talk about our failures as an organization. I think that's good. No, that's good. I want to make sure I set the tone right. We have failed. There have been times where it has not worked out, and I think we need to talk about that. Four times I can think of off the top of my head where it didn't work out. And I wish it wasn't the case, but it was. So one of the ones that happened, the one we talked about last night, the pastor was at this church for about 7 months, I think, give or take. Originally from California, moved to North Carolina to take over this church. About 7 months into this process, pretty abruptly, he sat down with the elders, handed in his resignation, said, "We're moving back to California." Elders called us and told us, "Hey, our pastor's leaving. He's only been here for 7 months. We have a 2-year guarantee. We got to make this work somehow." They were pretty upset. Come to find out, the reason they were leaving was because the spouse was never on board from the beginning of this process. She did not want to move from California all the way across the country to North Carolina. She did not want to live in the mountains of North Carolina when she was living on the coastal shore of California. We failed as an organization to properly vet and interview that spouse. We should have sat down with her and said, "Hey, how do you feel about moving from California to North Carolina?" So from that point on, we built in spousal interviews in our process because we were not going to let that happen again. So at all costs, we wanted to sit down with the spouse, whether just by themselves or with the pastor, to make sure that, hey, they're on board with this too, because at the end of the day, we truly believe that ministry is a full family involvement, including the spouse and the kids and things like that. And so if the spouse isn't on board, and the pastor says, "I'm ready to go, my spouse is being a little hard-headed," we're probably not going to want to bring them to you guys because they're only going to be here for 5 months. The other ones that didn't work out are my fault. I will take the blame for the other pastor searches that didn't work out. Because at the end of the day, it's part of my job is to make sure that your expectations are set really well. It's to make sure that I'm not painting a picture of Disney World and now wind up delivering a picture of Walmart. I got to make sure that you all understand at the end what's going on at each step of the process, that your expectations are in a place where this is exactly what he told us would happen, and we're happy with that. I don't want to get to the end of this process and you guys say, "This was not what he told us. This is not what we expected." So those other searches that did not go well, I can almost guarantee you fall back on me, because I did a really bad job of saying, "Hey, let's set your expectations here." So that I can take the blame for those searches that didn't go well. Yeah, so how did we go back to the church that it failed, and how did we re-engage? We had to go back humbly because we had done a poor job. I think first and foremost, that was what's most important. We had to go back to them and apologize that we did not do our due diligence like we should have, and we were going to do it this time. One of the unique pieces, though, about this, unfortunately, is when there's turmoil in the church, oftentimes strains in the church come to surface. Which some people say, "Well, we don't want tension in the church. We want everyone to get along." But oftentimes that can be really healthy. Let's work out some of those toxic relationships. And so that's what happened in this scenario, where you had this church that was looking for a really long time. They couldn't find a pastor. They partnered with us. They found a pastor. And then that pastor was gone again in 7 months. A lot of those relationships were strained, but they were able to come to the top. And so one of the things that we were able to do in that scenario, which was unique, was sit down with the church, again, humbly, but also say, "Hey, we're seeing some of this toxic culture pop up. Let's address that." Taking off the consultant hat and putting the trusted advisor hat on, we're able to sit there and say, "Hey, how do we help you guys be a place that's healed, healthy, and ready for a new pastor to come in?" So the silver lining in that was when we re-engaged with them, we were able to say, hey, let's make sure that all the wounds are healed here so when the next pastor comes in, he's walking into a healthy place. Now, there are situations where we need a pastor to walk into an unhealthy place, but we need to hire somebody who is going to be able to walk into that. We need to talk about that. But ultimately, I think it was beneficial for us to work through some of those toxic relationships that were happening. And so we sat with the elders. We reevaluated, and we obviously came to the conclusion that the spousal interview was critical in this, at this point, and we moved forward from there. It did take a little bit shorter than normal because we'd already kind of gone through the search process. So the turnaround for the second search was about 45 days versus the typical timeline for the search. Yes. Yes. We talked about this last night, I think, a little bit. So, yeah. One of the things that we want to do, again, let's go back to expectations. We want to sit down with you all at the very front of the process. So that launch meeting I talked about, step one. Well, we're sitting in that room, getting to know you as a church. We want to set your expectations of, hey, based on the parameters that you've given us, this is most likely what your pastor is going to look like, you know, based on the compensation, based on your theology, based on your location, based on all those things. We want to set your expectations. So before we walk away from that meeting, we want you guys to understand, hey, this is who you're most likely going to wind up with. And if you say, for some reason, that's not who we want, then we need to address that. But I hope that we would walk away from our launch meeting and the expectation would be set well. And if it's not, that's on us. But Lord willing, it would be. I hope that answers your question. Yeah, the cost of our services, certainly. So the cost is based on the anticipated first year's salary of the individual. So in this case, it's going to be one-third of the first year's salary plus anticipated travel. The anticipated travel, of course, is for our team to come to you all on the front end for that exploratory meeting and the back end for the presentation meeting. And, of course, everyone in that presentation that's on that is being presented has been interviewed in person as well. So what we do is we take the one-third of the first-year salary, combine that with the estimated travel expenses, and split that lump sum into six payments over 6 months. So little bite-sized pieces over the course of half a year for the fee. So good question. One of the things that we do with travel, because it is anticipated. We don't really know what the travel expenses will be. We just kind of come up with a sum, and we have at this point come up with a figure. When we get to the end of a search, we reconcile our travel expenses, and we return the excess back to you all so we don't hang on to any of that. Yeah, plus the travel expenses. That's correct. That's correct. Yes, ma'am.
Have you had a situation like ours before? I feel that we're a very unique situation where we've all sat under someone we love for 40 years or more. So we've kind of grown up and matured with that person. So we're all older coming in. Have you had that kind of situation where you've had to replace a pastor that's pastored and shepherded church for 40 years?
Yeah, our founder often says the hardest position to take is following a founding pastor or a long tenured pastor. It's very difficult. And we talked about this last night, and so I'll reiterate this point. One of the most difficult things for a church to do is to realize the identity of the church outside of a pastor's personality. Who are we outside of this pastor who's been here for 40 years? Because at the end of the day, it's not about the pastor's personality, right? It's about the gospel and what's going on at this church and the identity of this church. And so we deal with this all the time, where there's been a long-tenured pastor at a congregation that's aging, and we have to almost go through this identity crisis where we have to say, who are we? Who have we been for the last 40 years? Because the pastor's personality is so ingrained in the church now, we have to kind of pull that away and figure out who we are now. And then who is going to be a good pastor to then come in and shepherd us now? Because at the end of the day, we're not going to be able to find that pastor again. We have to find, you might get close, but you're not going to find that 2.0. So we need to figure out, now that we've established your identity, who's somebody that can come in and match your identity, not the other way around.
And that has happened in your...
I would say 35 to 45% of the time that's the case. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. You know what's interesting? I'll kind of bring in the business side of this. The model that we use is the same model that Exxon uses to find their CEO. They'll hire an organization that uses our same structure. Exxon's CEO makes about $20 million a year, so that search fee is millions of dollars. There is absolutely, when William sits down with business professionals, our founder, and talks about our structure and the work that we do, they say, "How do you keep the lights on?" It's difficult because the people we're searching for are only making $35,000-$40,000 a year, not $20 million a year. I'm here today because I believe that the church, in order to thrive, need great leaders, great shepherds, and great staff. And to no fault to anybody in this room, we aren't trained to help find or to find those people. And so my hope is I can stand here at the very least, pass along a lot of great resources that you all can then find that leader. And at the very best, you all partner with us and we help you find that leader. I think one of the biggest deficiencies in the evangelical church today is having leaders who can truly lead well for extended periods of time. And our hope is that we can partner with churches and help them, help you all find that person who wants to put down roots here, invest in this community, invest in you all. So whether you're a church of 20 or a church of 20,000, I'm going to say the same things because I believe that this is very important to the church to have great leaders day in and day out, and great shepherds. And so size is not an indicator of how much we want to, how much energy we want to expend on an opportunity. Size is not an indicator. It's your willingness is the indicator. Yeah. Yeah, certainly. I'll just kind of, I have copies of this process. It's a visual. I'm a visual guy, so I put it all in like pictures. I still like picture books. So I'm going to just walk through what it looks like real quick by step. I have copies, though, I want to give out to you all afterwards. So come by. Let me give you some free stuff. So the first step, the launch meeting. We sit down. We get to know you all. 4 to 6 hours where our team sits down with the search committee and maybe the board, and we get to know the ins and outs of the church. That's a really important process. The second piece is the assessment, where we kind of finalize, put the finishing touches on the church profile and the pastor profile. So after we've walked away from our meeting, we let you guys have the profiles for a little while, put some edits on them, and you send it to us, and we put the finishing touches on it. From that point, the search begins. Once those two profiles are done, the search officially goes live, is what we call it. When the search begins, three things happen. We begin our strategic launch online, where we target areas we think would attract people who might be a good fit for this church. We also begin proactively pursuing people we think would be a good fit for this area, and then we begin looking in our database. And that's what begins happening. So that's that takes about 46 weeks for that process to really begin happening, starting, kind of turning over all the rocks. That's the beginning of the search process. Then our research begins. Once we've compiled that long list of individuals, we then take the criteria that you all have put together alongside of us, and we begin examining that side by side with each candidate. Are they checking these boxes objectively? Are they matching these pieces? And pretty early on, we can whittle that long list to a much shorter list. So we begin with having, from that point, looking objectively at resumes and teaching samples. We take it a little bit further and begin having conversations. So with a little bit shorter list, we start having conversations like that we dig into theology. We start digging into some of the nuances of your all's beliefs that we hopefully established at the front end of the search in our initial meeting. So after we had those conversations with those individuals, we then whittle that list down to an even shorter list. That short list, we then finalize by meeting in person and kind of having the last heart-to-heart with them. So I'd say there's probably three really definitive areas where we shorten that list with about six total steps of the vetting process all the way down, 5 to 6 steps. Once we've gotten that short list, There's 4, 5, 6 people we feel are a good fit. One of the things that we'll do is we'll prepare a private landing page online for the search committee only. Everyone on the search committee will have a password, and you'll have access to the profiles of each one of the individuals on that shortlist. When you go to that webpage, there'll be an introductory video of the candidate introducing themselves to you all, the church, and then we'll include the video and or audio samples of the pastor's teaching. So before we come and even present these people to you, the search committee already has an idea of each individual, their experience, and of course their personality as well. So after we have put together that webpage, usually a week or two before we come visit, we will come visit now, and we will present each one of those people. One by one, we'll say, this is John Smith 1. You know, you saw his introduction video. You watched his teaching sample from his last from a sermon a couple weeks ago. Here are notes from our conversations. Here's his resume. And here's why we think he's a good fit. And then we'll move on to the second person and do the same thing for that entire list of people. Once we have done that, once we have done the presentation to the committee really kicks in high gear. It's then their job to begin the prayer process of praying over each individual and moving swiftly with each one. Whether that is the committee having a conference call with them initially, or a Skype conversation or a video call, or if that means that they take that list of 5 and whittle it down to 2 really quickly and say, we're going to spend the next month bringing these guys out for a weekend to teach and for us to get a feel for them. Once we present that shortlist to the church, you all are then in charge of working through that shortlist and hopefully finding that call for your next pastor. We're still right there with you, though. Even though we have done a bulk of the work, we've gone coast to coast and done all the searching, we don't just hand you the shortlist and say, okay, good luck, you're on your own. We're still right there with you. So as you all walk through conversations with candidates like, hey, how much do you anticipate getting paid? Or how do we structure a weekend visit with a pastoral candidate? Our team can offer advice, act as the moderator for some of those conversations, all the way up into the point where we can even do the reference checks, background checks, education verifications, all those pieces when you guys are ready to pull the trigger on one of the candidates. So we're with you guys from the very beginning, all the way through even beyond to the end, and even years beyond that. So that's really the step-by-step, and there's always more meat to those bones. We check in with you guys weekly. We check in with the search committee weekly. We have 2 strategic checkpoints where we offer candidates who have had their resumes blinded, so you can't tell who they are. We'll have a couple of checkpoints where we do that with the search committee and say, how do you feel about this individual? Tell us what you like, what don't like. And we use those interactions to critique our current search and see if we're heading in the right direction. If we're not, we course correct. And if we are, we continue on in that direction. So we don't just meet with you and then come back in a couple of weeks with a short list. It's week in, week out, checking in with you, getting to know you guys even more, making sure that we're on the right track, you all speaking into us, making sure that we're doing what we need to be doing. So very hands-on process, but it's also very consultative as well. So I want to make sure that everyone understands that process well, because I'm really bad at explaining it most of the time. But start to finish, we want to shorten the process alongside you guys and cast a broader net than hopefully you guys could on your own. Yes, ma'am. So there's a 2-year guarantee. Their commitment's not 2 years, but there's a 2-year guarantee. Hopefully their commitment's for their life. Yes, go ahead.
Well, after 2 years, based on your company's data, how many are still with the church after 2 years?
I don't have an exact number. Of course, we only have 8 years of data, so technically we only have 6 years of post-guarantee data, so I'm not sure. I think it's good. I think it's great. But ask me in 10 years, it might be different.
No,
I'd say about 98%. That's good.
And so when we take on a candidate for 2 years, then if they would choose to leave, are we still on for their salary for 2 years?
No. So let me break down the 2-year guarantee. The 2-year guarantee, the candidate doesn't know about the 2-year guarantee. Most of the time, they have no idea that it even exists. They're taking a job or taking a ministry or a church over to take it over as a leader. They're here for however long that God calls them to this place. Our 2-year guarantee is to you, the church, that if for some reason within those first 2 years that candidate leaves, or you ask them to leave, or heaven forbid something tragic happens, our guarantee is we'll come back in and do the search again at no cost to you. There's no commitment from the candidate saying, I'm only here for 2 years. That being said, you know, if you get a year and a half into this and the pastor is not a great fit, you all are more than welcome to ask this person to leave and then give us a call to do the search again. But there's no, the candidate most of the time don't even know there's a guarantee on this. They're just taking this position as a call. Does that help? Yeah, so any expenses after the presentation of candidates, so if you want to bring in one for a weekend to teach or a Saturday to hang out with to interview, all those expenses would fall on you all.
Yeah. If we have a candidate here, guaranteed, you say if he leaves before the 2 years are up, then you search again. Do we get 2 years again, or will you just get what's left of that 2 years?
You do 2 years again. So you could just keep firing people every 2 years and get a new pastor if you wanted to. I wouldn't recommend it, but, I mean, yes, you could. We'll have a conversation if that happens. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, so the question is, can the committee put parameters on the location of where we extend our search? And the answer is absolutely yes. If you guys say, hey, we only want somebody from Lancaster, nobody else, nobody, no outsiders, we'll let you know how difficult that's going to be and set those expectations, but that's what we'll do. That being said, we do want to allow you guys to set parameters and say, hey, we've had a really bad experience with guys from Oregon. I'll be honest, we're a little skeptical of those creeps, so maybe nobody from Oregon. And we understand that. So we want you guys to have the freedom to say, hey, we'd like to have somebody who understands, you know, living in Pennsylvania. So we're going to look at areas that, you know, are similar to Pennsylvania or even just further outside this region. So by all means, set those parameters for us. If they set them too tight, we'll let you know and we'll set those expectations. Yeah, I think initially I would. Just looking at it practically. Now, let me backtrack. So the question is, if I was in the committee's shoes, would I personally put parameters on the location to which we would search? Is that correct? Let me backtrack before I answer that question. It's really easy for me to veer away from the spiritual side of this. We're talking about finding a pastor. And I don't want to sound flippant by throwing around terminology or businessy terms. This is still a very deeply spiritual process. And God can call somebody from anywhere. I mean, anywhere. And we don't want to limit how the Spirit's going to move through the search. That being said, from a practical standpoint, I think God gives us brains to think practically and to utilize. I think He works through that. I think I would start, you know, in a statewide search. For a church like this, I'm starting within the boundaries of this state. Your state is large enough, yeah, you have a great population, but small enough where you're not having to fly people from 1,000 miles in the same state in to see you all. I'm always going to start at least on a statewide level. If this was like Texas, I would say regional because you have enough people there for the whole world. But for you all, statewide, I think is a great place to start. Pennsylvania has a great population. You have some great seminaries here too. Not many states have as many seminaries as you all have. And if we expand the search a little bit more, the benefit here is you guys have access. You're not too far from some of the biggest metropolitan areas. on the East Coast. I mean, Philly's not too far away, Baltimore, D.C., there's a lot of population between here and there. So the benefit for you all is, if you step outside of the state boundaries, you don't have to go far to reach some really densely populated areas to find individuals. So I think overall you're in a good position, but statewide is where I'm thinking in my head. Yeah, so all the staff are, all of our advisors or consultants are all former senior pastors and executive pastors. Just about everybody on the entire team served in the church in some capacity, whether that be you served in children's ministry or you were a worship pastor. But the qualifications for our consultants, the ones that you interface with, the ones that bring that wisdom, they're pretty stringent. You know, having a seminary degree, having had a certain amount of ministry experience, that ranges from 20 to 30 years of being a senior pastor in great metropolitan areas to rural Texas areas. We want people who can step in front of a church and be able to be relatable to any church they stand in front of. We have a saying that you need to check your bias at the door. So we want a team full of people who can stand in front of a Bible church or a Lutheran church or a Baptist church and be able to understand the culture, the theology of all those churches. And we're first looking at culture fit for our team. And then we're going to look at some of the core competencies. Our team has won Best Place to Work in Houston the last 3 years, and we've made the top 25 list in the nation the last 2 years. And so I think it's only fair that doing kingdom work should be the best work, and we have a good time doing it.